This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to MSVNow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
More Chinese.
Oh.
Not more eyeballs. Trash on the table time.
Who's been arrested?
We'll probably sit around and cook some soups and eat bread and desserts and just get all fat and sassy.
It's time for Trash on the Table with LT.
Hey, and our trash always brought to you by the locally owned and operated TJC Mortgage. If you're looking to refinance, purchase, or get cash out of your home anywhere in the Southeast, these are the guys to do it. Getting a quick quote is free. It takes less than 10 minutes to see where you stand. Call them right now, 815-9200. You can always visit them online. Go to TJCMortgage.com. TJC Mortgage, you talk. Those guys will always listen. We start first with the family of late comedian and film star Chris Farley has filed a federal lawsuit against Trek Bicycle for naming its fat-tired bikes Farley.
So they named the fat tire bikes Farley.
They said the Wisconsin-based bike company misappropriated Farley's name and traded on his, quote, fat guy brand of comedy. Now, Chris Farley was born and raised in Madison, about 30 miles from Waterloo, where Trek is actually based.
It does seem like this was, I mean, this is obviously intentional. They were obviously going for the Farley thing, but.
Has to be, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's no other reason you would pick a fat tire bike and name it a Farley.
Damages could exceed $10 million.
Oh, wow.
According to this article from MSN.
Mm. Wow.
When in fact, if they had probably just gone to the family, they could have cut a deal much cheaper than that and still done it?
Possibly so. Speaking of money, humanity has been debating the truthfulness in the old adage, money can't buy happiness, for centuries. Now, I've always said it can't buy you happiness, but it can make you a little more comfortable.
Right? Yeah, you can be sad in better places.
You can eat better.
Yeah.
You're still going to have problems. You're just going to have expensive problems.
Yeah, they're going to be beach problems, Rockstar.
Now, psychologists from Purdue University are wading into the debate with a new study on money and life satisfaction, finding that people are most satisfied when pulling in a salary of $95,000 a year. Now, what? That's per person, uh-huh. Not per family. Researchers found that the ceiling at which more money doesn't provide any more life satisfaction was $95,000 on average. After that, in fact, subjective well-being started to fall as income went up. Emotional satisfaction, on the other hand, came slightly cheaper. Positive emotions were correlated with more money up to $60,000, and negative emotions decreased as salary increased up until $75,000.
So is that saying, though, if they make more than $95,000, the problems that come with that are more than they want to deal with?
You're not going to get any happier once you go above $95,000.
That's what they are saying in this poll.
Don't you think Chip and Joanna Gaines were happier when they were just starting out?
I do not.
Okay.
I think they're happier now with their bundle of money. Having another kid, man.
Congratulations.
I didn't even know who these two were.
Who, Chip and JoJo?
Yeah, I've never seen the picture of them.
Do you remember when I took my wife to Waco, Texas last summer?
Yeah.
That's because of them.
But I would have had no idea who their names were.
Chip and JoJo, man, they're a TV staple in my house.
When Matt Rule was on the show with us, he mentioned what a great recruiting tool they are.
Okay, so Dunaway, you're the big eater on the panel here. At least you've done the competitive eating challenges here.
Okay.
How many dozen oysters could you eat?
Ooh, not a lot. Because at some point, like I may be able to choke down a dozen, but at some point the texture and knowing that they're sitting in your stomach.
Yeah, this almost makes me nauseous going through this story.
Yeah.
Acme Oyster House World Championship Oyster Eating Contest took place yesterday in New Orleans. Competitors had 8 minutes to eat as many oysters as they could.
Because here's how I picture it, okay? Because you don't chew them because you're swallowing them, right?
Oh,
chew them a little bit.
Oh, you can't chew an oyster.
Yeah, but you're swallowing them. So I just picture my stomach and like a garbage chute going into the dumpster. They're just plopping down.
This is going to get worse when I tell you the number.
And then the second one goes down, and then the third one, and it just is piling up.
There is a new oyster eating champion. His name is Darren Breeden. He's from Virginia. This was his first time competing in the Acme Oyster House's Oyster Eating World Championship. He ate 40 dozen oysters.
40 dozen?
Which is 480 oysters, if you want to do quick math.
In 8 minutes.
He did not. In 8 minutes?
He said, I really didn't have a technique. I just slurped and slurped, rinsed and repeat.
Amen.
slurped and slurped.
Rinsed and repeat.
For his accomplishment, he got $1,000.
Got to keep your head on the swivel.
Next up, he will compete in Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest on July 4th in New York. And I looked it up this past weekend, 72 hot dogs in 10 minutes.
Yeah. Mm. I am anti that event. I love eating food. Food should never be used in that form.
Yeah, but
we should have more respect for food.
he doesn't, Joey doesn't get paid enough.
What's he make?
I saw where he I think it was a wing competition the other day, got $4,000.
Do you think that guy...
So I was just saying, like, if I offered you right now $1,000, showed you the money, you got to eat 400 oysters in 8 minutes. I don't understand. You're going to get your name in the paper.
I don't care.
Do you think that chestnut guy ever has a normal movement?
No, probably not.
I mean, he's normal move. The what only should thing I like?
I'm just saying, Rockstar, he's had to have wrecked his innards. It's just got to be awful.
Would you guys agree with me? I like raw oysters, but I need a cracker with it. I need some sauce.
Some hot sauce, a little horseradish.
Do you guys put horseradish in
Absolutely.
Yeah,
a lot of it.
Me too.
Okay, this is going to make you feel old. Let's take a look at some songs that turn 20 this year.
All right. Wait, that's going to take us back to 98.
That's
very good math.
Backstreet's Back from the Backstreet Boys.
Right. Backstreet's Back. All right.
Yeah, it is.
Just keep singing, Dunaway. Number two on the list is Believe from Cher.
Jim?
Oh, I hate Cher.
Do you believe?
You guys can just go back and forth this.
Jim's got the next one.
Part of this show, number three, Bittersweet Symphony from The Verb.
Oh,
Jim?
I can't do that one.
Bittersweet. It's the symphony. And
then
it goes.
Intergalactic from Beastie Boys is on here.
I can't do that one. That would wreck my voice.
Can I Get A from Jay-Z?
Did you just do closing?
Jim, please.
Yeah.
Can I get a
what?
Listen, I know you want me to go Notorious J.I.M. on you here, but I'm not going to.
Number six, Torn from Natalie Imbruglia.
She's pretty.
She never did anything else.
No, she married the lead singer of Silverchair, and then they split up. They're both Aussies.
Yeah. Number seven, Closing Time, Semisonic.
There you go, Jim. You've already done it.
Thank you.
There's an argument about that song. You know what the writer of the song says the song is actually about?
Suicide.
Negative. Actually, the exact opposite of that.
It is actually about not closing the bar at all. It's the end of a relationship.
Nope. Birth of his child. Closing Time.
Got snipped?
No. The birth of the child. The child, you got to leave. I mean, basically, it's closing time. You got to get out of here, man. Now, everybody assumes it's about the closing of a bar, which brings to...
So, I know who I want to take me home. Is that the parents taking me home?
Yep.
Huh.
That's what the guy that... What
Great, group is
Semisonic.
That?
Semisonic. That's
never,
what the...
never listen to that one the same again.
No, yeah. I can believe that, bro. Deep meaning.
Another song that turns 20, Truly, Madly, Deeply, Savage Garden.
I want to stand...
I was not a fan of that.
I Will Buy You a New Life, Everclear also turns 20, and Ghetto Superstar from Pross.
Hmm.
I got the sad obituary of the year.
Oh, no.
This is Kathleen Dumlaw, or Kathleen Dumlaw. Anyway, she was born March 19th, 1938, to Joseph and Gertrude. She married Dennis in Wabasa in 1957. She has two kids, Gina and Jay. And in 1962, she became pregnant by her husband's brother, Lyle, and moved to California.
Oh, that's going to be tricky right there.
She abandoned her children, Gina and Jay, who were then raised by her parents, Mr. and Mrs. Shunk. She passed away on May 31st in 2018, and she will now face judgment. She will not be missed by Gina and Jay, and they understand that this world is a far better place without her.
Wow.
So,
wow.
They paid for that to put that in the paper.
Man.
I mean, it starts all sweet, and then the second paragraph, well, that's a little bit of a shot. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Just in case you didn't know how bad our mom was.
She and got pregnant with... her husband's brother.
And now she'll face judgment. She'll swim out past the waves.
Finally, the idea all started with Erica Fetch putting hand sanitizer in her armpits before she left for the day. Now she and her husband, Jason, spend all their time making toxin-free natural deodorant from a mixture of tea, whiskey, and vodka.
Oh.
Pit liquor has been born.
Pit liquor.
Pit liquor. That's a funny name, though. I'll give her credit.
Jason Fetch spent months reading medical papers and textbooks to find the right mix of alcohol to make the best deodorant out there. They say alcohol, of course, is fantastic. It's the same thing that's in hand sanitizers. They started an online campaign to raise money through Kickstarter. Got $20,000. Since the launch, they've realized customers are coming back for more.
So you can smell alcohol in deodorant, though, right?
Oh, you can. Yeah. Pit liquor.
In it. Pit liquor. I like it. Very good.
You can serve it up when it's closing time, Brown.
If everybody thinks the song is about a closing of a bar, you can say whatever you want. The song's about a closing of a bar, right? If that's what everybody thinks it's about, he can say it's about the birth of his child all he wants. I mean, it's kind of the way the crowd interprets it, isn't it?
The guy who wrote Moby Dick, was he really fishing?
Yeah, but clothing time seems more like...
Oh, wow. Was just in a bar with a big guy. I was at the urinal. Oh, my God.
That's Trash on the Table brought to you by...
our friends at TJC Mortgage. If you're looking for the home of your dreams, these guys can put you there. Call Tanner, Joe, or Chris, 815-9200, or online, tjcmortgage.com.
Where college football never ends.
Here's Coker with protection. Loads up, looks long, has O.J. Howard behind the defense. He'll make the grab. He's going in. Touchdown, Alabama.
The Jocks Roundtable with LT, Dunaway, and Brown.